to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist, consultant. I love to design landscapes for just having a beautiful Florida-friendly, low-maintenance landscape or a beautiful, large estate-type landscape. If you have, you know, visions of grandeur, I can do those too. And so I love helping people with their gardens. And so this hour, we're going to be talking about your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680, 23680, and you can just give your name and your city location, and I will get to you and help you right away. So let's start. I've got a very long, dirty word of the day today. So let's start, Lizzie.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is heterodichogamous. Heterodichogamous. And this means, well, I'll tell you, avocados are one of the fastest growing fruits in demand. Now, let me say that again. Avocados are one of the fastest growing fruits in demand. I didn't say that avocados are fast growing. Okay, so the trees are growing very slow. In fact, avocado consumption has tripled in just 20 years. Most of what we eat in the United States comes from Mexico, but breeding better avocados have always been slow and difficult. And why is that? Well, there's three reasons. First, the avocado is a large tree that matures slowly. It takes 5 to 8 years before producing fruit. A second major obstacle is the avocado's reproductive system. A single tree typically produces more than 1 million flowers, of which only 1/10 or fewer will become mature fruit, making controlled pollination difficult. Finally, avocados are heterodichogamous with two flowering types. That's A and B. So type A avocado trees are female, which means they're receptive to pollen, in the morning of the first day and shed pollen, becoming a male in the afternoon. So on the first day and shed pollen, become male in the afternoon of the following day. Type A avocados include Haas, Reed, and Pinkerton. In contrast, type B avocados are female in the afternoon of the first day and male in the morning of the next day. Type B avocados include Brogdon, Bacon, Joey, and Winter Mexican. But there's also some varieties like Wurtz, Brazos Bell, Carmen Haas, and Lamb Haas that can be both A and B types on the same tree. But until now, breeders had no way to know a seedling's type without waiting for years of inspections. Last month, University of California researchers made a major breakthrough in avocado breeding. They discovered a gene called SDMYB that determines whether an avocado tree has A-type or B-type flowers. With the SDMYB discovery, breeders can test a young tree's DNA and know its flower type right away. That means faster breeding, smarter orchard planning, and better avocado varieties for the future, and hopefully cheaper avocados. So, heterodichogamous, and that's the dirty word of the day. I'm very excited about this because I'm into ancestry and genealogy, and now we can go back with the DNA of avocados, and these avocados have been intermingling and breeding for over 1 million years.
They've just been doing it on their own?
They've been doing it on their own. But now we can tell a tree right from the very beginning, which is, it's very, very exciting and great for the agriculture industry.
I'm excited about that because I know it takes almost 3 months to 4 months before I can figure out what a turkey is. And then sometimes that doesn't even register. And then, you know, then I misgender them for about 8 months. And then I realize that it's a tom and not a female.
So. Yeah. So you know what it is. But if you could know what their DNA is right away.
It would be a good thing. Yeah. Then I know what to name them. go from Chocolatina to now his name is just Chocolate.
I love that name, Chocolatina.
Yeah, it was a girl.
Because they're deep brown, aren't they?
Yeah, they're chocolate slates. And so I was like, oh, you're going to be Chocolatina. And then I found out it was a boy. I was like, well, I guess
Chocolate
Tom. Chocolate.
Just Chocolate. Oh, there you go. That saves it. Very good. This is the month of August, and we can be doing lots of gardening this week. We're not going to have a lot of rainfall. That's Saharan desert dust, which I have a, let's see. Somebody mentioned the desert. They never heard about it. Hold on. Let me get to my text messages. I got to scroll down. So let's see. The whole Saharan dust stuff. I never remember that when I was growing up as being a factor that prevents, hurricanes. In fact, I always remembered hearing about the Sahara dust only starting a couple of years ago. Strange. Well, actually, that's because of technology. Now we have better satellites. We have better weather technology and understanding of the technology. We can see the wind patterns now from space. So, you know, with the desert, it keeps the moisture from evaporating and going into that cold heat front there that creates those hurricanes, that swirling motion, tropical storms. So yeah, so it's something new in the last 20 years that we didn't know about earlier than that. So that's why we can kind of understand where our weather comes from. We are doing wonderful there, so we do appreciate that. So thank you so much. We're going to be right back with your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680 like Eric did. And we'll talk about that when we come back. And it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Garden. This hour, it's all about you and your gardening questions. If you have something that's on your mind, don't know where hurricanes come from, or you're just wanting to know how to grow a plant or a tree, you want some design topics or tips, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Craig in Belle Isle. Good morning, Craig. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, ladies. How are you?
I am good.
All right. I've got two giant mango trees, and I know it's been 6 months since the freeze, but I heard what you said earlier about seeing a tree with a lot of brown leaves and the green growth inside. And so I wanted to share what was shared with me. The Orange County Extension Master Gardener sent me some information about this. If I could just read you a couple sentences.
Sure.
Okay. Freeze-damaged mangoes often respond with epicormic sprouting, producing dense clusters of dozens of new shoots from the trunk or major limbs. Let the shoots grow to about 6 to 8 inches tall so you can see which ones are the strongest. Selectively snap off or prune away the weakest shoots, leaving only 2 or 3 well-spaced, robust stems per area to become the tree's new primary branches. Leaving too many shoots creates a weak, tangled brush pile that blocks light and invites fungal diseases. So I was really uncertain how much to prune my trees or when, and I just started doing it after reading this, and I think it was a good move.
Well, good for you. That's basically what we need. We need to cut off those dead branches and let the new shoots come out, and then you can select which ones will be better, have good air circulation, will be a nice canopy for you, and that's exactly what you need to do.
That's what I've been doing, and I'm really happy with the results so far. And then as far as the I've also got two avocado trees. The Brockton avocado had flowers during the freeze, and I thought those delicate flowers will all fall off, but they didn't. And now I'm eating Brockton avocados, and the tree looks great.
Wonderful. Well, Brogdon's are very frost tolerant. So, you know, right. You were in a great area. Belle Isle has a little microclimate growing there. So
exactly.
that's a great choice for you. Brogdon avocados are great. They're very frost tolerant. So good for you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. The last thing I want to share, I also have about 20 crotons in my yard. And some of them were totally unaffected. Some of them were largely affected. And a bunch of them looked like they were going to die. So I gradually trimmed them down until eventually it was almost ground level and thought these ones are not going to make it. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks, holy smokes, the new growth is coming up from underground. And I think they all lived.
Wonderful. So, well, you know, that's a really good. See, what you do is very important is you're not afraid to cut. And so, you know, sometimes it's not recommended. It just depends on the plant species, but you've done very well. Tropical plants, if you cut them back, they will come back from the roots because our ground never freezes. So good decisions there. Thank you so much for sharing, Craig.
It was very heartwarming. You guys do an awesome job. I really love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Craig. Have a great week. I appreciate that.
That was some good information right there because, like, you know, I didn't think about that and about cutting them back and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, some people are just afraid to cut, and mm-hmm. then they have all these sticks, and, you know, it just doesn't do well. So
yes.
Now, if you've got any dead from the wintertime, go out there and cut it. This is the time of the year to do it before. We have 3 months, you know, you want to do major pruning 3 months before a change in the weather, and we have that right now. Mm-hmm. Because usually our first freeze or first cold snap is December, maybe, you know, definitely January, but end of December.
And speaking of freeze, I'm telling you, you need to get your frost blankets and cloths ordered right now.
That's true.
Don't play these games. Don't wait another month. Don't wait till September. Get your order in now. Trust me on this. I know Peterson's nursery also has, you know, I think they do carry them too. So
yeah, exactly. So that's very important. Okay, so let me go through my text messages. Eric sent me in some beautiful photographs of his butterfly garden, butterflies and a hummingbird. And yes, it is difficult to get them a picture of a hummingbird that's not moving its wings. You have to have a very fast camera. So thank you for sending. You always make us laugh when you text us. So here in Polk County, let's see, got that. That's Eric. So I don't know who asked this one or where they are. I intended to transplant my amaryllis after they bloom. What is the best time to move them? And after they bloom is the best time. So go ahead. If they finished up blooming, and because I have some new amaryllis that are starting to bloom again right now. So that's kind of interesting. But if your amaryllis have finished blooming, you can go ahead and move them. And so thank you. And then update on my cactus plant. I've had for about 4 years. It has sprouted into many other cactuses, and it's way taller than my trailer. I'd say it's about close to 15 foot tall right now. I think it's called a fence post cactus, but I did exactly what you said, and I don't water it anymore. You told me to let Mother Nature take care of it, and since I've done that, he has sprouted very high. I can send you pictures if you give me your website. Well, I'd love to see your pictures, so go ahead. It's teresa.watkins@live.com, or you can send them to me on Facebook, which is Better Lawns and Gardens, and I can get them either way. So teresa.watkins@live.com, if you have photographs you'd like to send, that would be wonderful. And congratulations. Yeah, we try. Mother Nature is the best thing for plants, and it's called a night blooming cactus. It's also called a fence post cactus. It is a cereus, cereus species. And so they are wonderful, and they have fragrant blooms, and you're going to have a lovely, lovely spring with it. So congratulations. Catching up right here on what you should be doing this month in your yard. Again, for vegetables, seeds of melons and pumpkins can be planted now in early August. Also, too, you can go ahead and give tomatoes an extra large container. So your tomatoes should start be filling in nicely. Put them on a trellis and make sure that you keep the soil moist consistently. Don't overwater, okay? But moist consistently so that they don't get blossom end rot. You can cut your herbs this month if you've been planting them and they're giving, you know, they're growing. Don't waste them. Go ahead and cut them off, and you can just bag them and put them in your freezer, okay? And then when you're ready to chop them up, you can go ahead and pull them out and let them thaw and then chop them up then. But you don't have to do it right now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
It is. Just cut them back. Don't be afraid to cut back your plants, except when I tell you not to. Okay, so I'm seeing all these people going out and cutting plants. And right now, the plants you should not be cutting are our spring blooming plants, which are our azaleas. Do not cut them. Camellias, do not cut them. And hydrangeas, do not cut them.
Oh, and speaking of the camellias, like I have a huge, beautiful, you know, the splatter paint. I call splatter paint. It's not proper, but it's the white and red splatter paint
one. It's
ones.
Gorgeous.
And you said, what was it, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, don't you cut it. And I caught Shrek, my husband, we call him Shrek, going out there and he's fixing to start trimming. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to trim it back so it'll be ready for, you know, the winter and fall. I said, no, sir. I said, you see all these buds? And he says, yes. And he goes, but it needs a haircut. I said, no, it does not. I said, Teresa said, leave it alone. And he said,
if there's one like sticking out 2 feet or 3 feet outside of your, you know, your canopy of your camellia shrub or bush, you can cut that one off, but don't trim the whole plant.
Okay. So for the rest of the world, yes, Teresa's right. But when it comes to Shrek, no, he's not allowed to touch that one. Sorry.
There you go. That's smart. That's smart. So you want to go ahead and also to, let's see, I talked about the trellising mulching. Make sure your plants are mulched. If you have no mulch, then the water's going to evaporate out of the ground and you're going to lose your water. Feed your sweet potatoes monthly right now. And you can go ahead and, you know, when you're planting these vegetables, put on your calendar what the date is when you should be harvesting them. That way you don't have to dig them out. You don't have to guess. So if you planted in August, then about mid-October, end of October, most vegetables should be ready to harvest. Okay, 72 to 90 days. And if you put it on your calendar, you won't have to guess if it's, you know, ready to eat or not. You want to also feed your citrus with 1/4 pound of citrus fertilizer per inch of trunk caliper. Okay, so if you have a 4-inch citrus tree, then you're going to put down a pound of citrus fertilizer. And citrus doesn't need to have an expensive fertilizer. Okay, no plant needs to have an expensive fertilizer. Okay, but your citrus, you can use a 666-888-10-10-10. Make sure you're looking on the label. Make sure that you're giving it the micronutrients it needs. You might have to add minor elements, which can be granule or can be sprayed on your tree. And then also apply a minor nutrient spray and insecticide to your citrus at each flush of new growth. So when you're talking about each flush of new growth, that means you have to go out to your yards and look at your plants, okay? And then notice when it's putting out new leaves. That's the time when insects know that the leaves are the most delicious, and they're going to start attacking the new growth. But if you never go out and look at your trees or your shrubs or your plants, you never know what stage they're at or if you're seeing an insect problem until it's too late. Walk your yards on a regular basis. Okay, once a week, go out there and look, especially if you have fruit trees. Fruit trees can get damaged overnight, and you want to make sure, and your vegetables too as well. They need to be inspected every day, every couple of days. That way you catch a major problem. So 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680.
There you go.
I need another cup of tea. So it's wonderful. I love hearing from everybody. So let me go put these text messages up more. Linda, thank you so much. It is interesting about avocados. Isn't that so? I love ancestry, and we can go back DNA 5 generations. And so when you're thinking about this DNA and scientists and the agricultural industry, what they're doing to find out, you know, when these plants started to hybridize and where they, how far back they go, it's fascinating to me. We're going to be back with more of your gardening questions. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. 888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. And let me get to the text messages so we can make sure we have everybody there. So let's see. Linda says she's in zone 8B, that's up north. My little 4-foot avocado was a year old last winter in a large pot. I covered it religiously, but it froze back. A new growth came up at soil level. It is doing good, about 2 feet tall. Will it be a productive tree, or is it just like a sucker? I hope not. I don't know if it's a, was it a grafted avocado tree, Linda? If it was a grafted avocado tree, you should see the graft. It should be the graft kind of gall or node that you see is about 4 inches to 5 inches above the ground. If the sucker is below that graft, then that is not, it's, I would cut it off. Okay. But if you don't have any growth above the graft, then your avocado tree may not, it may be dead. So if you want to leave that sucker, if the graft above the tree, above the graft is dead, then you might want to leave the sucker. It's just going to take a long time for it to have fruit. And you might feel better just getting another avocado tree. But I would get one that's really, really cold tolerant, like Brogdon. We discussed that earlier. Or Linda, just send me an email and I will send you a whole list of the avocados that are good for wintertime. Okay? Then it says, we have a concrete block wall, which we'd like to plant some tall barrier to block the neighboring properties. However, the footers underground have spilled over, so planting may be problematic. I would think bamboo, but it seems like it would require occasional trimming so they look good. What would you suggest? Well, the bamboo is not going to need occasional trimming if you get a small bamboo. So I don't know. Let's see how tall the wall is. You don't say how tall the wall is, but if you get a shorter bamboo like Golden Goddess, it's going to get to be 10 to 12 foot tall, and you may not have to prune it. Now, it will lose its leaves in the wintertime, but they come back. So bamboo can handle the wintertime. And so there's short varieties of bamboo. Now, if you want a taller one, if your wall is like 8 foot tall, then you may want to get a bamboo that gets 15 to 20 foot tall. I'm not worried about the footers because bamboo is a grass. And so the roots are rhizomes and they go sideways. They go down too a little bit, but they'll get around the footer. Have no fear of that. Okay. So, yeah, bamboo might be a good choice. So as a designer though, I'm looking at what my theme is. And if you have a tropical landscape, then bamboo will be great for it. But if you have another type of landscape where it's a little bit more formal or it's a butterfly garden, you may want to put down a plant or shrub or tree like a red bay, which would be lovely because it attracts butterflies. So I would just think about what kind of landscape design you have because you got a number of choices there. Okay, great question. Let's see. Bill in Orlando likes Shrek. That's hilarious. Hi, Teresa. What kind of soil would do you recommend for container roses? Just a regular potting soil would be fine. What kind of container is it? It's more important. Is it a plastic container? Is it a porcelain container? Is it a clay container? That's going to determine what kind of soil you use. Okay, so if it's a plastic or a porcelain, make sure it has good drainage. Roses don't like to have wet roots. Then you can just use a regular potting soil. If it is a clay pot, I would use a potting soil that has those moisture prills in it that holds on to the moisture because a clay pot is going to suck the water out. And during the summertime, it's going to need to be watered every day. Okay, so just depends on the pot you have. Regular potting soil is just fine. But if it's a clay pot, I would use the one that provides moisture control. Okay, that would be great. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What fertilizer to have for sweet potatoes, to fertilize sweet potatoes. You could just use a regular fertilizer, 666-888-1010. They're not really specialty specialty plants that need, you know, they're not spoiled rotten yet. Okay, so you can just use a regular balanced fertilizer. That's fine. Just make sure that it's in full sun. Okay, so I think we're all caught up there. Thank you so much to all our texters. Colette, thank you so much. It's nice to see you on the text message line. Okay, so we talked a little bit about carrots and how to grow them. And sweet potatoes have come up today. So this is a time to plant sweet potatoes. But Florida has a pest problem that I've never talked about. And I just wanted to bring it up today because it is one of the most persistent and annoying pest problems we have. And it's orange. It looks like carrots. It looks like sweet potato color. So I thought that was interesting. So it's called wireworms. And wireworms are the larval stage of the click beetle. Have you heard of click beetles with the Egyptian click beetles? They're long and rectangular and they make that clicking noise.
I've heard of them, yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, the adults are those little beetles and they flip over with a click. But it's the larva that causes the problem. So beetles aren't the issue. It's the larva. Just like sod webworms, it's not the moth that's the issue. It's the larva. So larva is what eats the roots, eats leaves. Wireworms look like slender, hard-shelled, reddish-brown worms, anywhere from a quarter inch and a half long. You'll only see their tiny pair of legs near their head. Everything else is tough, is a tough, smooth body. They live in the soil, usually in the top 6 inches. But in dry weather, they're going to burrow deeper. So they might be close to the surface right now. Wireworms are the most damaging root pests in Florida, right alongside the sweet potato weevil. They feed on root vegetables, potatoes, carrots, beets, radishes, and other vegetables, cabbage, lettuce, peppers, sweet potatoes, beans, and peas. So everything out there pretty much they eat as far as vegetables go. They attack the roots and tubers, leaving holes, stunting growth, and reducing your yield. In high-value crops, the losses can be severe. Click beetles emerge in spring and late summer and lay eggs in the soil, up to 100 per female. The larva develops slowly, sometimes 2 to 6 years, and they can overwinter right in your garden beds. So here in Florida, several generations may show up in a single season. Aren't we lucky, right? There are no insecticides for home gardeners. So cultural and biological controls are essential. You cannot get a chemical to get rid of them. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you after this break. All right. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're talking about wireworms. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. When we last left you, we were talking about wireworms. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And so here's the solution if you think you may be getting wireworms. One is to recognize them. They're long, orange, red-orange larvae. They look like a little bit of caterpillars, but they're very skinny. And so if you are having problems with your vegetables in the ground, then you want to till the soil before planting, and that's going to turn them up. You'll see them in the soil. Don't rototill too deep. That's not recommended. You don't want to hurt your microbiological system in your soil. You don't want to break that up. So, but they don't like predators and sunlight. So wireworms, you want to rotate crops. This is the best way to prevent having an insect issue. Avoid planting root vegetables in the same spot year after year. Okay, so you want to go to something else, legumes, your brassicas, after you plant a root crop. Improve drainage. Wireworms thrive in poorly drained soils and old sod. So if you have really moist or hydric soils, or if you're overwatering, okay, this is one of the reasons why we don't overwater. Make sure that you're not getting wireworms. And then beneficial nematodes, they can be applied to target larvae naturally. So here's interesting, and some of you may not have thought about that, but beneficial nematodes, we have the good nematodes and we have bad nematodes. What you want in a good, healthy soil is the beneficial nematodes, and you can buy them, okay? And so they cost about $30 to $75 for a good vegetable garden area. I would say probably 20 by 20. And the beneficial nematode that will take care of wireworms is called a Steiner Nema. And just look up beneficial nematodes. You can even put in wireworms or Steiner Nema, S-T-E-I-N-E-R-N-E-M-A. And then you can purchase them. They'll come to you. It has the label. It tells you how to put them in your soil. And they will take care of your wireworm problem. And then the other really easy way for homeowners to take care of these bad worms or even bad nematodes is solarization. During the hottest month, you can solarize your area, your vegetable bed, and that will take care of your problem. So always inspect your soil before planting crops. That's very, very important. You can also use bait traps. I'm not necessarily a big fan of bait traps because if you don't have the insect that you're trying to control in your yard, you put bait down, it's going to come to your yard. So that's kind of like attacking or inviting the enemy into your house.
Okay, I feel that same way, like with those fly, the smelly fly things.
Yes.
They work great.
Yes.
But I swear, I feel like it's just inviting everything in the whole Lake County to come to my house.
Yeah, I feel that way about termite bait traps. If you don't have termites, why are you putting a bait trap out in your yard to attract them?
Because you need friends.
Yeah. So can you help reduce the population? So in Florida, wireworms are a year-round concern. They just don't happen in the summertime or during the winter. They happen in South Florida, Central Florida, North Florida. So being proactive. And again, monitoring, walking your yards on a regular basis. Be observant. I think we've lost that skill over the last 100 years. That we used to be able to know what was going on in our landscapes, in our soil.
Yeah.
And so
we're just too busy.
We are.
That's the bad part about it. And I think
that's true.
Kind of need to slow down for a second. And like you said, take the time. And you've always recommended to walk your yard. Just take the time to walk and look because.
Yeah, turn the leaves over. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the color of the foliage. Is it changing? Is it getting less, you know? So and that helps, and it makes you more observant, and you can know what's better, because I tell you, once you learn something about gardening, you're going to start to see it everywhere. You're going to go, oh, that's that, that's yep. that, that's that.
And it's funny, it's like mushrooms are popping up everywhere right
yes,
now.
They are.
And it's, I mean, they're really pretty. I know you absolutely love the look of mushrooms.
Do.
So I try to get pictures so I can send them to you. But yeah, it's crazy the amount of mushrooms that I find, especially with this little bit of rain we have. And yeah, so yeah, definitely go out and walk your yard like Teresa says, because you will really start noticing some nature. Like leave your phone, you know, in your pocket and
yes.
ignore it for a minute and just yes. do that.
That is good bit of advice right there. So last week we talked a little bit about fireflies. Somebody mentioned they hadn't seen fireflies. And so they're one of nature's most remarkable night light makers. A group of fireflies. Do you know what a group of fireflies is called, Lizzie?
Light?
No.
I don't know.
They're called a sparkle. A group of fireflies is called a sparkle.
That's cute.
So the fireflies are soft body beetles, again, beetles from the family Lampyridae. And inside their abdomens, they have a tiny lantern cell where a chemical reaction creates a cool, efficient glow. A compound called luciferin, just spelled just like Lucifer, isn't it? Which means light. Yeah, light bearer. So light bringer, morning star is Lucifer is Latin for morning star light bringer. And so a compound called luciferin mixes with oxygen and an enzyme named luciferase and a little cellular energy, and the result is light without heat. So first of all, why they do this is because it's communication. Male fireflies flash specific patterns as they fly, and females answer back with their own signal. There you go. So they're just talking back and forth to each other. Hi, babe. I'm over here, you know.
wait, which one are you?
Each species has its own rhythm, almost like a language of light. In some places, hundreds of fireflies even synchronize their flashes, creating a breathtaking display. I think we've lost that a little bit here in Florida with all the development. But fireflies' glow symbolizes a bridge. This is the symbolism, a bridge between the living and the spirit world, according guiding departed souls on their journey. In Japan, people often view fireflies as the souls of fallen warriors. Fireflies also represent fleeting yet passionate love. Their glow also serves as a warning. Many fireflies contain bitter toxic chemicals. The light tells predators, don't eat me. From courtship to protection, that tiny spark in the firefly's abdomen is a powerful tool, one of nature's most elegant designs. I love fireflies. And we used to see a lot of them here in Florida. We don't necessarily see as much, but you can. Stop spraying your yards.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, stop spraying your yards. We want to thank everyone who called in today, Jerry and Eileen, and everyone who texted, Colette, everybody, Bill, thank you so much. Eric, you're always wonderful. Linda, we have so many good people out there that listen to us, so
yes.
We're happy to visit with them and answer your gardening questions. And you can go on to the Facebook page and like us. Please like us. That will really be special. You can see my dried tomato recipe.
Yes.
How to dry tomatoes. I will have the purple carrots link up there. And then on our betterlawnsandgardens.com, you can see what to do in the month of August and all the other important, my plant of the month. And we're going to have all that up.
Yes.
And so we will do that for August. And
don't forget that at Peterson's Nursery today at 9:30, they're going to have the seasonal weed control, and they have a thing called BYOC. That means bring your own chair.
Yes, that's very, very important. Give a big hug to Howie and Karen for us. Also, too, I have more of our garden tours up on artandbloomgardentours.com. Please come with me. We will have a great time. You will see beautiful gardens. I have an article in National Garden Bureau newsletter this week. I'll put that up on our Facebook page too, as well on the designs of France. We have a wonderful tour going to France next April. Then in May, we are going to the Chelsea Flower Show, which we will be having afternoon tea with King Charles, not with him, but in his home, King Charles III's home, Highgrove House. And so we will
And you need a passport for this. So you need to go ahead and get on the website and go ahead and find out that information about how much it costs. Get your name on a list and get your passport going now.
There you go. That's artandbloomgardentours.com. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, the great producer, Lizzie Steele. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or would like to recap any other shows that we have done, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.